Hey, everybody, welcome back to Little Things Are Big Things Education Podcast. This week, we are getting into relationship building with your fellow staff members, and we are going to get you kickstarted with a connection activity led by K-Dub that's going to get us into some different activities during lunchtime as well as some appreciation. So let's get to it.
Let's do it. So guys, we wanted to start this week kind of thinking back to a podcast that we did a couple weeks ago where we were talking about the importance of collaboration in our work. And as Tim and I were kind of digesting and reflecting on that week's themes, we realized that we didn't really have enough time to go as far in depth as we would have liked to on the importance of relationships with our fellow teachers, paras, and administrators. So this week and next week, we're going to dive into those two topics, pulling back from that. So that's a little peek behind the curtain. And there was two ways that we wanted to talk about those connections. We wanted to talk about those connections from a sense of how they help us serve our students and how they can be used to make us better teachers. And then also just like the obvious like social emotional need of connection that we talked about last week when we talked about human needs. And so this first idea for staff connection is going to be in that place of connection for the sake of connection. And I'm going to ask Tim a question real quick. Tim, do you guys have a staff room at your school?
So we are in the process of like rebuilding the high school. And so what we currently have is we've gotten away from like the staff room in the old building, and the new building that we're in this year has like teacher workstations. Mm-hmm. And so there's multiple of these around the new building now, on both floors, first and second floor. And they probably house about 20 teachers, 16 to 20 teachers in each workstation. And it's got like a little small kitchen. It's got like a common conference room, and then it's got a bunch of like teacher workstations.
Cool. So my background, Canyon Park, the school that I taught at when I first became a teacher, or at least technically my second job, I guess, we had a fairly big staff room with like two refrigerators, you know, multiple microwaves, and we had two lunches, and it was a middle school, right? So smaller staff, like 45 teachers or whatever. So we had a culture that was there when I got there, so I don't know how it got started, but like literally every teacher ate lunch in the staff room most days. I mean, there were some teachers got busy, had a student that you needed to help with, whatever, where you wouldn't be in the staff room. But I mean, legitimately like 18 to 20 people in the staff room most days. And so that was kind of where I got my start. And there was a very natural just exchange of what was happening in our classrooms, talking about our daily lives. Just a really good time where every day for 20 to 30 minutes, teachers were just talking about life. Get to my newest school now, we don't even have a staff room, right? Like the way our building is old, we don't have the space because the old staff room got turned into a copy room. So we had to be very intentional because like when I first got there, all the teachers ate lunch in the rooms kind of by themselves. I mean, we also, our cafeteria is also not big enough for all of our students. And so we have kids like literally sitting on in the hallways eating lunch. Or in my case, I have a bunch of kids in my classroom. So we came up with about 2.5 years ago, as a group of us were expressing our frustration about being siloed off during our lunches, that we agreed like, okay, we're going to meet in this room and we're going to have this time to just ourselves. Like we literally lock the door so kids can't come in and we just hang out. And it's the best thing that we've done within that space is, and I was actually resistant to it at first, was one of the other teachers came up with the rule that we're not allowed to talk about students when we're in there. We're not allowed to talk about school, right? So every once in a while, we'll talk about students. We kind of break that part of the rule on occasion, but we're absolutely not allowed to talk about instruction, right? Like we don't talk about lesson planning. We don't, I mean, there might be like a random thing because four of us are history teachers that are in there most of the time out of like the 10 of us, because it's like in our hallway that eat in there. Like four of us are social studies teachers. So someone might like get a wild hair up their butt about something. And like, we might pull up a video of something from 1980 or whatever, but that's because we're dorks and we like the content that we teach, right? We're not actually prepping for a lesson or anything. So I think that's one way, like if you don't have a set up staff room for that space, I would encourage you to just like go ahead and like default make one. And like one of the things that we eventually did. Eventually, my room is eventually going to be that space. The problem was when I was a football coach, all the football players came to my room to eat for the first few years I was there, and I could not unteach them that habit, which was fine. But part of the reason they liked it was I have couches, I have a toaster oven, I have a microwave, I have a coffee machine, like a Keurig coffee machine, I have a mini fridge. So I literally have kids putting their food in my refrigerator. So it was hard to get kids out of there. But like when we go back and we get back to a new normal, like we have our own like little mini staff kitchen in my room that we'll be able to utilize. And I think that'll help make it that space where people can come in. And then it is nice to also just like, I'll get random visitors of other teachers like, hey, can I use your Keurig? Like, yeah. And I've literally met two teachers in our building because they heard I had a Keurig and they needed a shot of coffee at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they popped in my room and grabbed a shot of Keurig. So I think lunch with no school talk is a really good way to develop some actual connection for the sake of connection. Do you guys have anything like that at your school where you guys like intentionally make time to just chat?
I mean, I love that. And I love that you made the difference between geeking out because you love your content versus lesson planning. Cause that's so true, right? Like I'll go on a rant about math and we'll nerd out. Right. But it's not because we're planning something. So, we've got several different lunches. Part of that's because of COVID. And so like, instead of there being three lunches, it's like eight different lunches. Like every teacher's like releasing at slightly different times to help with like the process of getting students through the line. Cause we're in person. Right. And so the teachers do have a little bit of overlap and they meet in the new common spaces in our new building and they'll eat lunch there a lot. I kind of hang more in like our teacher workstation area. And so my next door neighbor on either side of my space has the same planning as me and is like our interventions teacher. So I'll connect with them a bit. And there's time, we kind of bounce back and forth between it. But I know when I go out and I try to dive in with some of the other teachers and they're more in that workspace, it is much more the like on the personal level and not school.
That's awesome. It's good that you guys have that space. Although I imagine that the COVID and the eight lunches must be making that a little bit more, I mean, a lot more difficult, right? Like with everything with COVID, it's a little bit, you have to be much more intentional with your connections in COVID. None of it's going to happen on accident in quarantine. So, so our second idea for our connection activity was like, okay, let's talk about like more of a professional / purposeful use of connection time, like developing those relationships. And so I've got two things for everybody. One is, depending on the culture of your school and who's sending out the email, like just sending like a simple acknowledgement that you got the email, whether it's a meeting reminder or an agenda or like something that like some like weekly thing that goes out. The number of times that I've gotten like an enormous amount of gratitude back my direction from literally just saying, hey, thanks for sending this, or got it, thanks, Megan. Like that goes so far. And I didn't even do it for that purpose when I used to do it. I just used to like, I know how I feel when I send an email out and nobody responds to it. It's like a real sticking point for me with my coaches when I'm the head coach of a football staff, right? Like I literally have to tell my guys, like, you need to respond to every email I send so that I know that you got it. Right. Like that's a standard that I set. So like, knowing that that's actually something that people appreciate was something that was kind of like a random one-off for me. But another thing that I do have to be more intentional about, and I think is also more important, is like giving appreciations out to staff, particularly staff who either you work with all the time and you can kind of get into a habit of it being so normalized that you don't actually like acknowledge the things that are wonderful about working with the people that you're working with. Or if it's like from a staff, like professional development or a staff meeting where you got to work with someone or even listen to someone that you don't usually get to sit next to or listen to, like circling back at some point and just like a quick email, or even better if you drop like a little note on like a notepad or a sticky, or if you guys have like a school like logo standard thing that you can write something on, that goes so far with people. And it what it does is it creates, now when they see you and they think of you, right, like now they're going to stop and talk to you, right? Like whereas before they might not have done that, and it just opens up an opportunity to do that. So like a couple of examples just from within the last couple of weeks that I'm thinking about. I was looking at something that we were all working on in our student success team group, like a shared document, literally from like 3 months ago. And I went back and looked at it for a completely different reason. I just wanted to like double check to like match some language from something else I was working on. And I noticed that the teacher I work with, Robert, had made this comment about the importance of like student voice. And he just, it was like, it was super eloquent. It was like so like on point. And I was just, as I was reading his comment, I was like, man, I really appreciate that Robert said this and like the approach that he has. And so like, instead of like just like having that thought and letting it pass through and not doing anything about it, like I immediately stopped what I was doing and sent him an email and just was like, hey, Robert, I noticed this thing that you said 3 months ago. It was awesome. Love working with you. End of email. Right. Like that, yeah. That was it. And then he's a funny guy. So his response email was, you know, basically as long as you give me credit for the quote in the book that you read, you're good to go. So here's Robert getting his credit. I don't have a book, but I got a podcast. So Robert Morgan with a great quote about helping students out and putting student voices first in everything that we do. And then like another one would just be, I had a chance to work with someone who's in a different department than me, teaches a different grade level than I do. We were in an equity training and she pointed out something to me that was really astounding. I can't remember if I already brought this up on this podcast, but her partner is a person of color who just got her her tenured professorship as a doctor with a doctorate at a university, which apparently puts her in the following elite company by percentage. You are more likely to be a woman of color and make it to the WNBA or fly in space than you are to get a doctorate and be a tenured professor as a woman of color. Right. So like when she told me that, like, first of all, that blew my mind. And then second of all, I was like, wow, that must be awesome to be like living with someone who has accomplished that much. So just like responding with an email of like, you said this, it blew my freaking mind and like, awesome. And like, since then, her and I have developed a relationship where a couple times now she's emailed me about stuff or I've emailed her about random things. This is someone who literally like never talked to other than like the occasional hello in the hallway in the past. And now like every once in a while, like, you know, once a week or so, we'll ping an idea off of one another in an email. So I, you know, not that we always want to have a reason for doing that, but like that connection creates the opportunity, like taking the time to think about that, I think will help you get some of that back in return and will help you create some relationships with people that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise.
Right. No, you're saying so much like brilliance right now, like around this idea of like, if you take some time to validate and appreciate other humans, because it is such a rare thing that it makes you stand out. Right. And like, We all want to feel significant. We all want to feel important and like we're doing the right thing. And so when somebody takes that time to go out of their way and make that extra effort, like, of course it hits us like in a sweet spot and it makes us want to build that connection. So, like, I think that's a very good thing that we've talked about with doing with our students, but to specifically bring it to this idea of like, that's how you also connect with your staff, like your fellow teachers and like people that you maybe don't see on a regular basis. Like, I love that you're bringing that all up and just like how simple that can be to create
connection. And it's funny, the thing like to kind of like make a full circle here, like the thing that taught me that I wasn't like in the right space, whether it was mentally or physically or whatever, just like super busy with 1,000 things going on, being a first year teacher and then becoming a first time head coach all by the age of 29, right? Like so many things going on. We used to have this thing at Canyon Park. It got started, I think, my second or third year there. It was called Kindness Week. And I can't remember if it was, I'm going to screw up people I deserve to give credit to. There's a guy named Houston something or other. Houston Craft, thank you, with the perspectives and stuff like that. And I can't remember who else was involved in this thought process, but we came up with this thing called Kindness Week. And instead of doing candy grams, we called them kindy grams. And people would like write notes of appreciation to each other and they would get delivered throughout the school day. And then in the staff room at Canyon Park, right, going back to that idea of having a staff room, they always did like these super creative things. Like they would make these trees or like make these flags. And I still have some of these, of like things that students or other teachers had written about the teachers, and they would put them on these things. And then you could go down at lunch and pull them off and look at like what people had said. And you could see like as someone was reading, right? Like you could see the impact that made of someone reading one of those. And like, we even developed a habit one year. Like we said, we were all only going to read one a day so that we didn't like get all of it at once and then not have any more of it. So we would just read like one a day. And it was so cool to just see like people, like the expression of whatever they were feeling, right? You could see sometimes like some tears welling up sometimes or just a smile. I remember a couple times, you remember Mr. Whitmore, right?
Oh, I love Mr. Whitmore. That's part of the reason I teach math.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So one of the things that you may remember about Mr. Whitmore is that he has one of the most distinctive laughs that I've ever heard.
And yes, and he speaks Italian, and he has little parts hanging in his classroom.
Absolutely. And so I remember distinctly, the thing that I always remember when I think about these kindygrams is I remember him just like reading and just the burst of laughter from what this student had written about something that they appreciated about Mr. Whitmore was just so fantastic. And so like, that is what kind of, that memory was lodged somewhere in my brain. And then that's what kind of clued me in to do this. And to be honest with you, I think my old age or my memory loss, I'm not really that old, but I think I am, has helped as well. Because the other thing that's changed for me is I've learned that when I notice I'm thinking something, if I don't stop and do it right now, I'll forget. So I've actually gotten better at doing the appreciations because I know now if I don't just stop and do it in the exact moment that I notice that I'm having the thought about how awesome Robert Morgan is, I'll forget to email him. So I've gotten, because I've learned that I'm forgetful, I'm actually better at doing the thing and just stopping and doing it when it's still in the front of my brain.
Yeah, I was trying to scroll through my phone real quick to find a picture of my little teacher workstation.
Yeah.
Because like when you started describing those like little things that like the sometimes the kids will do or other staff will send to you, like I'm like, wait, like that has such a huge impact on me. Like I literally save them and I pin them into my little like teacher workstation. Like I have this framed piece from my first year of teaching that has a bunch of student made bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Just with their creativity and their art. And then around it, there's like, I don't know, probably 10 different little like apple shaped sticky notes that the students had wrote, like, you know, Mr. Freeberg did this and that was why I really enjoyed his class. Right. And like, I grabbed like 10 of those and put them around like the teacher or the student art bookmarks. And then around that, it's got like thank yous for this and thank yous for that. And like, thank you from like my fellow teachers. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's like stuff that fuels me when I'm like struggling to make it through, you know, like, or if I'm having a rough day, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I am making a difference. Like,
yeah, I'm laughing because I literally have the exact, I've got like a cork board right behind my teacher workstation in my room at school that is literally full of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple on my refrigerator. And one of the things that I told you before our podcast started that I'm a little frazzled because I'm working on some like changing some culture at the school that I'm at now. And like one of the things that I've noticed in the last 2 years is literally all of the stuff that I have that's up there, none of it is from the school that I'm at currently. And I don't think that's because my students don't, I know it's not because my students don't appreciate me, because I get those kinds of comments in other formats, whether it's an email or a survey or whatever, right? But I don't have anything tangible. Right. And also just like middle school kids, you taught middle school for a little bit, right? Like I literally still have drawings that kids made that just have my name next to them, right? Some of them are like quote unquote drawings of me. Others are like, here's this like random flower thing that I always doodle when I'm trying to keep my brain occupied in class and I put my name on it and I want you to have it, right? Or, you know, whatever, like I drew a unicorn and I want you to have it. So like I have all that stuff, but like also thinking about like, I had a teacher last year that came to me and she was like, I don't know, thinking about making the move to middle school. And I just walked her over to that part of my room. And I was like, if you're not sure, look at this wall and tell me if this is something that you would be into. And she was like, oh my God, this would be amazing. Teach middle school.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure that it's a high school, middle school thing, but I think that's at least part of it. But that's one of the things I'm focusing on for our school is creating that culture of like making that something that's part of what, right? Because the kindygrams thing, like that was like a school-wide endeavor that somebody else started, right? Like I had nothing to do with that other than reading them and thinking they were awesome. So,
right. No, I love it. You brought up some great points and appreciate the connections for us this week. And let's challenge ourselves going in to this beautiful Tuesday. Go find something great about one of your fellow staff members and write them a quick note. Leave it on their desk. Post it, you know, maybe to the, like, if you've got one of those, like, windows in, like, the door, you know? Like,
oh, just yeah, yeah.
From the outside so they can read it from the inside and just walk away. And then all the students will see it. And like, again, it's that like bringing like validation and gratitude in a public way. Like the students are like, oh, you know, like, and it just, it dual impacts exactly what we're trying to do, right? Build staff relationships, build student relationships, and model, right? So
absolutely. That's a mic drop on the suggestion there. So we'll leave it with the relight window posting. I love it.
Love it. All right. We'll see you all back here on Thursday. Always learning a peak state.
Make it a great day.